Well, hello there.
Hello.
How are things?
Things.
Happy birthday in the past.
The belated, I think, is the...
Sure.
Thank you. I'm another year older and not any wiser, probably.
Nope.
We'll see.
That is true.
Probably not.
We're going to say with 100% certainty, yes.
I got your package with my gifts in it and the little guy. We'll have to make sure pictures of get put on the Discord, along with his stat spread.
Yeah.
I told Elise about that. She was very, very entertained by the fact that he has special abilities.
He does.
And I was like, we don't need to worry about naming him. He's already got a name.
He's just a little guy.
For clarification for anybody incredibly confused by this, Casey crocheted me this absolutely gigantic sloth for my birthday. And he's got these big, long, wiggly arms and these long, wiggly legs and these tiny little eyes. And I love him dearly already.
Do you want to see what the pattern he was based off of and how different it looks?
Yes.
Because this lady who made this book used yarn for the eye or for the nose and used felt for the eyes. And I said, no, I'm going to buy safety eyes and a safety nose.
Oh, that looks so different.
Mine's goofier for sure.
Yeah.
But the spirit is there.
Oh, yeah. No, he's adorable. When you explained to me that he just has a character.
Yeah, he's got charm.
Like,
yep.
I thought I knew. I wasn't too far off, but I was like, I was not prepared for the girth of the sloth.
He's just a little guy. Yeah, it was a good time. He was my very first, other than the Wooble that I got. That I made to learn my crochet. He was my very first project.
Aww.
That I did by a pattern. And I said, if anybody's not going to hate me for making a mess, I know one person who's put up with my mess for 20 fucking years.
No, I love him.
Weird little cryptid sloth.
Yeah, he's so cute and goofy. I'm trying to find a good place for him to live. He might end up going up on the mantle when he's not being cuddled.
He's not going to fit in your cubicle.
No. Well, I already have a giant sloth in my cubicle that they gave me last year for my birthday, but I don't have any room for it at home either because I have two more of said giant sloth at home because I bought one and then I had a friend buy me one and now I have a third one at work.
That I've made with my heart and love.
Oh, no, I know. If anything, I would bring the one from work home and this one to work.
You make everybody else's problem?
I just, like, sit him on the corner of my cubicle so that he can oversee everyone.
This is just a weird little guy. Well, I suppose we should get started, huh?
Yeah, sure.
Hey, real quick, Free Palestine.
Yeah, from the river to the sea.
Welcome to The Strange and Unusual, where we discuss the strange and unusual. This is episode 176 of our series, seeking out the weird, the unexplained, and the devious from around the world. I'm Casey.
And I'm Roya.
This week, I'll be telling you about some British witches during World War II.
What?
I've been doing a lot of Brit stuff, huh?
Yeah, a little bit.
But the Nottingham cheese riot.
I'm just more curious about, there was a witch scare in World War II?
We'll get there.
Okay.
Be sure to reach out to us on X, Twitter, whatever, and Facebook and Instagram threads. You can find all that information in the show notes. And we will talk about it at the end of the episode. And of course, as always, patreon.com/strangeunusual, where you can join our Discord and look at the weird little guy.
Yeah.
We might just need to make him our new mascot and have a totally new logo.
Just him with the Elmo fire. With his little hands up.
I love it. I don't hate this idea. All right. Let's get started. Wee-woo. Nazis. Bet you weren't expecting that. Hitler, specifically. Warfare, witchcraft, Wicca, brief mentions of suicide, but it's a Nazi, so it's not all bad. So, she just turned around and looked at me.
I mean...
Yeah, I'm not wrong. I'm just an asshole. Picture it. England, 1940. It's a balmy summer night. and a secret coven of witches in the town of Highcliffe-on-Sea in Dorset gather together to discuss their concerns about the anticipated invasion by the Germans. Are you scared? Are you ready?
Yeah.
Are you interested?
Yeah, no, I can understand why witches would be nervous about this, because the Nazis were obsessed with the occult, so if they found out that there were real witches hanging around...
We'll get there.
I can't
wait. Keep that in mind, listeners. And now, to understand where their heads are at, I think it's important to give some relevant information on what's happening right now. So it's May of 1940. On the 10th, the Germans invaded France, pushed back the British British Expeditionary Force, which I will now be calling the BEF, so I don't ever have to say that word again. So they pushed that back, as well as the French and Belgian troops, to the port of Dunkirk. It's suddenly the Germans aren't advancing anymore. It's not sudden. They're sieging the town. And with the exception of some aerial attacks on ships that are trying to get in, all these troops are just kind of stuck on the beach. A huge rescue mission called Operation Dynamo was organized by the Royal Navy to get the troops off the beaches and back to Britain. Admiral Bertram Ramsay directed the evacuation. He had retired before the war, but was recalled again in 1939. His staff had worked in a room in the Dover Cliffs and once contained a dynamo, a type of electrical generator, which is what gave the operation its name. Just a little background information. The Navy knew that these large warships would have trouble pulling into the shallow waters to pick everybody up, so the British Admiralty appealed to owners, civilian owners of small boats, for help, and they called these little ships. Churchill and company initially expected that only 20 to 30,000 of these 400,000 plus men on the beaches would be rescued, but they ended up getting 330,000 Allied troops off the beaches, leaving about 90,000 troops, including Tom Hardy, to be taken prisoner. And that joke will only land if you've watched Dunkirk the movie. Already know Roya has not.
I have not.
Not a serious movie gal.
Only occasionally.
It's historical fiction plus horror, so I knew it was out of your realm of possibility.
Yeah, probably wouldn't watch that unless it was...
It's too smart for you.
Damn. Okay.
Well, you were just talking about how you weren't wiser. Anyway, all the resistance in Dunkirk ended at 9:30 a.m. on June 4th. But bringing back all of these troops to the country was a huge morale boost, and it created what was called the Dunkirk spirit, which is maybe why these witches decided to come up with their own plan on how to defend the country. But it wasn't a win for everyone. Not long after Operation Dynamo, the withdrawal of the British forces, Germany was successful in taking over with their blitzkrieg invasion of France. The French government collapsed on June 16th, and 2 days later, Churchill gave this speech saying, quote, "The Battle of France is over." Oh, the Battle of France is over. I expect that the battle of Britain...
I can hear his jowls.
Right? I am no Gary Oldman. Another movie that Roya probably has not watched.
Which one?
The Darkest Hour, where Gary Oldman played Churchill. The Battle of France is over. I expect that the Battle of Britain is about to begin. Let us therefore brace ourselves to our duties, so bear ourselves that if the British Empire and its Commonwealth last for 1,000 years, men will say, or will still say, this was their finest hour. Which is a pretty famous quote. So the country rallied together to brace for what was an inevitable invasion in their eyes, and much of their equipment, like the bulk of the tanks and heavy guns, had been fucking abandoned on the continent, on the beaches, because they were just like, get the fuck out! We don't have time to collect all this stuff. So when the troops were evacuated, they were trained men, but they didn't have a lot to work with. Anything that could potentially be used to fight back was essentially drafted. For example, they would encase the chassis of a large truck or lorry in the States, what we would call a semi or an 18-wheeler. They would encase these things in concrete to make an improvised fighting vehicle that worked like a mobile pillbox. Do you know what a pillbox is?
Yeah.
Okay. For those of you who don't know, it's a type of blockhouse or concrete guard post, and it often had little windows almost so that the people inside could still shoot at the enemy from inside. air raid shelters were constructed in streets and in gardens. gas masks were issued to everyone. People were giving up their metal pans and utensils to be melted down to make fighter planes. Children ended up being evacuated from major cities and sent to the countryside or overseas to Canada, Australia, and New Zealand. They formed the Home Guard, men who were too old, too young, or too ill to be assigned to the front line units. They were really ready to give the Germans the business with hunting rifles, shotguns, Molotovs, and pointy sticks they called invasion spikes.
I like it.
I'm not hearing you. I don't know if that is... Okay, there you are.
Okay, weird.
I was able to read your lips when you said yes to me about the pillbox, but then I didn't hear you laugh, but I saw you, and I was like, what's going on?
You double check, make sure I'm recording. Yeah, it looks like I'm recording, so...
I hear you now. I don't know if it was just a weird thing with the mic. Okay, so, sure enough, on July 10th, the German Luftwaffe... is the Air Force, launched a massive air assault, and the Battle of Britain was underway. Now remember, the German army was now in control of the ports of France, just a few miles across the English Channel, and if the Luftwaffe was successful, it meant that Great Britain would be vulnerable to this invasion. And just, you know, these airstrikes are against convoys and ports, and later the main offensive called the Adlerangriff. I'm learning German, but I don't know if I'm saying that right. But it means the eagle attack. It took place initially against air bases and like factories and radar stations, basically just trying to wear down the British air defense. This was not the Blitz, not yet. The sustained campaign of attacks of British towns and cities came later. So we're not at the point of bombing civilians just yet. So this is happening. And something like 17 witches made up this so-called New Forest Coven, with members coming from various other esoteric societies, like the Rosicrucians, which I think we talked about briefly in the Solar Temple episode, the Co-Masons, a form of Freemasonry that admitted women, and the Hermetic Order of the Golden Dawn, which just sounds super made up. all of these people came together, these 17 people, and they came up with their own mission to help the war effort, which they dubbed Operation Cone of Power.
Hell yeah.
They arranged to meet in the forest before midnight on August 1st, 1940, the eve of Lammas Day, a harvest festival, and one of the greater Sabbats of Wicca. They gathered in a clearing a few miles north of Highcliff near an old gallows tree known as the Naked Man, supposedly because this location had enough energy that it would give their spells, the ones that they planned to cast, a little more oomph.
Yeah, in order to be the cone of power.
Yeah. What's their plan, you ask? To stop Hitler from invading Great Britain.
I mean, it's a noble plan. It's a good effort.
Yeah. Hold on, my headphones are acting up. All right, so now, allegedly, there's a historical precedent for this type of use of magic. I know. Believe it or not, apparently, this happened. Enter Gerald Gardner, one of the 17 gathered witches of the and the supposed father of modern witchcraft, allegedly one of the founders of the religion of Wicca, alongside High Priestess Doreen Valiente. Just a side note, biographer and practicing Wiccan Philip Heselton said, quote, he wasn't a religious pioneer. What he did was publicize it and write about it, and he gradually became known through that, and people made contact. So he helped see that Wicca survive, but he was just writing down what people had been practicing for generations and making, like, his own version of what he practiced.
The King James Wicca.
By the book. Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, Gardner wrote in his 1954 book, Witchcraft Today, that there had been two accounts of witches stopping invading forces from reaching Britain before. The first claim was that in 1588, witches helped to defeat the Spanish Armada. According to Gardner, British Admiral Sir Francis Drake, he joined a group of sea witches somewhere called Devil's Point in Plymouth, and they got up to some bullshit and caused a magical storm.
I mean, and if there's going to be sea witches somewhere, it's going to be Devil's Point.
Yeah. And so the Spanish Armada was allegedly discouraged and scattered by storms and never actually invaded England. And according to a Mental Floss article I read about this, quote, it is said that on foggy days at Devil's Point, the disembodied chants of Drake and the witches can still be heard.
Ooh.
If anybody's been to Plymouth on a foggy day, you gotta let me know if that's true. Then, in 1805, some witches decided to flip Napoleon the old bird and cast a spell to deter his invasion as well.
I mean, fair.
Never mind that Napoleon didn't really have the naval power to do any such thing at this point. Shout out to my man, Lord Nelson, at the Battle of the Nile. History nerds will get. I really want to get a portrait of, you know, when they put like your pet's head on like historical figures.
Yeah.
Lord Nelson's missing an arm. I really want to get Jackson's face on Lord Nelson. Anyway, so how did they do this? Well, they raised a cone of power. That's how, obviously.
Yeah, clearly.
This is Operation Cone of Power. Why couldn't they do the same to Hitler in 1940, right? So,
I mean, the precedent is there.
The precedent is there. And so Heseltine writes in Witchfather, which is a biography about Gardner, that they marked out a witch's circle. And in place of the traditional bonfire, they used a lantern so as not to draw the attention of air raid wardens or the Luftwaffe aircraft.
Yeah, valid.
Yep. And usually the bonfire would be in the center of the circle, but they actually put their lantern to the east, directing the light in the direction of Germany in an effort to focus this magic on Berlin and Hitler. They stripped naked, or quote, sky clad, which is allegedly the Wiccan term for naked.
All right.
They covered themselves in some kind of fat or grease to stave off the night chill. And they danced in a, quote, spiraling pattern around the circle, building up to the communal ecstatic state that they believed can gain control magical forces. They began chanting incantations, raising the cone of power in an attempt to, quote, gather and concentrate cosmic energy, which would then be focused onto a particular target, in this case, the mind of Adolf Hitler. Their goal was to inflict a psychological assault on the mind of Hitler that they hoped would weaken his resolve to invade. Gardner writes, quote, the witches did cast spells to stop Hitler from landing after France fell. They met, raised the great cone of power, and directed that thought at Hitler's brain. Quote, you cannot cross the sea. You cannot cross the sea. Not able to come. Not able to come. Can you imagine if witches made you not able to come? That just struck me as I said it out loud. I was like, wow, that would suck. All right, sorry, on with Gardner. Just as their great-grandfathers had done to Boney, which is Bonaparte, and their remoter forefathers had done to the Spanish Armada with the words, go on, not able to land, not able to land. I am not saying that they stopped Hitler. All I say is that I saw a very interesting ceremony performed with the intention of putting a certain idea into his mind, and though all the invasion barges were ready, the fact is that Hitler never even tried to come.
Gross.
And he never did. The Germans had plans for an invasion of Britain, which was codenamed Operation Sea Lion, and it never happened. And it's totally because of the cone of power, definitely not anything else.
I mean, it's not.
You can't
not.
Prove it wasn't.
It's not because of the cone of power.
That's what the Christian argument is, right? Like, you can't prove it isn't God. you can't tell me it wasn't the cone of power, right? Now, this didn't stop the aerial attacks, obviously, because we have the Blitz still. Like, see, the Germans, like, the plan was to destroy the Royal Air Force. And they were going to just, and they did a great job. Like, they came in, they were, like, taking out all these spots. And
well, I mean,
in
it
late
was,
August, the Germans dropped some bombs, apparently.
It was clearly just a miscommunication on the cone of power. They said that they couldn't cross the sea with boats intended, couldn't cross the air. If they had covered
they didn't want him to invade, and that never happened.
Yeah.
They didn't say, stop bombing us. They said, don't come here.
Yeah.
Don't invade. And they never landed. Like, okay. Anyway. Semantics is what I would argue, magically.
So I'm saying, if they had been more clear with their, more specific with their wording, then maybe.
They just said, you can't cross the sea and you can't come anymore.
Yeah. Sorry, Ava.
All right. So, oh my God, poor God. That got me. So, destroying the Royal Air Force, they were doing a great job. They might have even been successful, but in late August, the German troops, or like one fighter, dropped some bombs, apparently by accident, on a civilian area in London. Great Britain retaliated, dropping bombs on Berlin. They didn't do a great job, but they did. And Hitler was convinced by the guy who ran the Luftwaffe, I can't remember his name, Goring, He was that this would never happen, right? He was told they will never attack us. We are so good at our Air Force. They will never get in here. And then they did. Like I said, they didn't do a great job, but they did.
I like that you did there. Donald so, Trump hands. They will never get in here.
We have very, the very best, good Air Force.
We have the best Air Force.
We have the best Luftwaffe. Okay. I can only ever think of Brennan Lee Mulligan doing Trump now.
I know.
I got him Little Tomato.
Have you ever seen him eat a tomato?
Nasty little man. God. So, yeah, Great Britain retaliated, dropped bombs on Berlin. And Hitler was so enraged by the fact that they were able to do this that he went, you know what? Fuck those Brits. He orders the Luftwaffe to shift its attacks from the Royal Air Force and go to London and other cities and just bomb the shit out of civilians. That's what we know as the Blitz. And that's what we frequently see in like World War II movies or like period films and that sort of thing. Presumably his hope was to bomb them into submission, like that the terror caused by attacks would ruin their will to fight. But that, to no one's surprise, only made them more determined. Because it turns out when you start bombing civilians, all it does is press them or piss them off and drive them toward militancy.
Yeah. We don't have a real world example of that happening right now in several different countries.
Nope. This has never happened before. Unprecedented.
It's never happened since. Yep. This is the only time it's ever happened.
Let me tell you, this is the only time this has ever happened. It's never going to happen again and never happened before. Very, 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 very isolated situation. We do terrible Trumps, but I hope that you all are knowing that that's what's happening here.
We're not impressionists.
Again, free Palestine. Anyway, we know how the war turned out, right? In the words of the beautiful Susie Izard, quote, Hitler ended up in a ditch, covered in petrol, on fire. So that's fun. And it's funny because he was a mass murdering fuckhead. Love Susie.
I do too.
Back to the witches. So with the exception of Gardner's book, this is what makes this such a great story for me. With the exception of his own writings, there is no historical evidence of this ritual ever happening. He literally just wrote it in a book, said, this definitely happened. I was there. But nobody else ever came forward and said, I was also there. And yeah, that did happen.
Well, I mean,
and there might be a reason. There might be a reason for that, and we'll get there. But
yeah, secret witches.
Yeah, nobody else ever came forward and said that I know about this. It wasn't until the 1970s. And this is where I think I texted you and said, this took a turn I was not expecting.
Yeah, you did.
This is the turn I was not expecting. Because a writer named Amato Crowley challenged this version of events, claiming that Gardner had written this fictional story of the ritual based on the real ritual that his alleged father, the famous British occultist Aleister Crowley, conducted.
What? I was like, Crowley, like Crowley? Like,
like Crowley, yep. Now, Amato claimed that he had witnessed his, quote, father, that's important, he'd witnessed this being conducted as a ritual as part of a larger British intelligence plot called, quote, Operation Mistletoe, a plot that was cooked up by none other than Ian Fleming, the creator of James Bond. What?
That's why you were asking.
Which took place in the Ashdown Forest in Sussex in early 1941, supposedly with a detachment of Canadian soldiers dressed in wizardly robes and a dummy in a Nazi uniform seated on a throne. In an article I found from Today I Found Out, it suggested that it was well known that several members of the Nazi inner circle were fascinated by the occult, such as Heinrich Himmler. He allegedly sponsored various expeditions to recover the mystical relics of the world, like the Holy Grail. I think Roya has seen Indiana Jones.
I have.
And The Last Crusade.
I've seen those, yes.
Hitler evidently believed that there was some sort of magical protection around him, given that he survived numerous assassination attempts. And Nazi deputy leader Rudolf Hess believed so much in astrology that it is known to have influenced his choice of mysterious flight to Scotland, which I will talk about in a moment. This article also suggests that Crowley thought he could use his magic to exploit the beliefs of others, allegedly writing to the director of Naval Intelligence in 1941 that, quote, if it is true that Herr Hess is much influenced by astrology and magic, my services might be of use to the department in the case he should no longer be willing to do what you wish. So he apparently reached out to the Navy and said, y'all need help? I got magic.
I hope he had like David Blaine trick.
Oh my god, he just was in a water bubble and didn't breathe for 6 minutes or
he just made a dove appear.
Yeah. I think Crowley's far more like Chris Angel,
yeah,
than David Blaine.
He's a mind freak.
He is a mind freak. So according to this Mental Floss article, a guy named oh gosh, what was his first name? I didn't write it down. I didn't write it down. His last name is Spence. He wrote, I think it's Richard or Robert Spence. He wrote a book in 2008 called, quote, The British Authorities. Oh, wait, I think I got these two notes backwards. Hold on. Give me just a second, because I know it's in this article. And I'll just...
Yeah, no worries.
Oh, God, I love the name of this book. Shit. Okay, let me start over with the correct. According to the Mental Floss article, Richard Spence wrote in his 2008 book, Secret Agent 666. Aleister Crowley, British Intelligence, and the Occult. Quote, the British authorities only wanted the superstitious Nazi leaders to learn that they were being attacked by British magic. But after the plan was dropped, Crowley went ahead on his own. And I'm going to read this pretty closely to how the article I read says it, because I couldn't be bothered to explain it any better. But the Today I Found Out article goes on to like further cite Spence, saying that Fleming and Crowley recruited two SS officers, which were codenames Kestrel and Sea Eagle, and they had them perform these rituals. Then they sent them back to Germany to report that the Hermetic Order of the Golden Dawn was waiting for peace to be brokered so that they could seize power within the British establishment. The aim was to frighten suspicious Germans into thinking that they were being attacked by British witchcraft, to convince Nazi leaders such as Himmler and Hess that there was a large underground British anti-war movement and that peace and maybe even a potential alliance against Soviet Russia could be easily brokered between Britain and Nazi Germany. Spence wrote that the angle of occult and mysticism was further supplemented by misinformation to convince Hess that this movement was being led by the Duke of Hamilton, whom he had met at the 1936 Summer Olympics in Berlin, and who was the air commodore responsible for air defense in Scotland, and that this guy was waiting to meet him in Dungeville Castle or House in Scotland. Quote, according to this account, the setup worked perfectly, and Hess flew right into Fleming's trap. Amato seems to believe that the result of this ritual was that the previously mentioned Rudolf Hess believed he would single-handedly be able to convince the British to make peace with Germany. This unexpected solo flight across the North Sea in a fighter plane was going to work. But he, quote, bailed and parachuted out over Scotland because he lost his way and ran out of fuel. Most other sources I've read said that he intentionally flew to Scotland, so I don't know. But Hess did end up in Scotland either way, and when he was found, claimed that he knew Hamilton. He was arrested, continued to be unapologetic about being a Nazi and an anti-Semite, and ended up in prison until he killed himself in August of 1987. He was 93 years old, which is too much of a life for a Nazi. So, boo to that. But anyway, witches, right? So, Heselton and a British historian and writer from Bristol University named Ronald Hutton, they think Amato Crowley is full of shit. For one, Hutton has like written extensively about neo-paganism and finds that it's rather odd that the man who claims to have been the secret illegitimate son of Aleister Crowley and trained by this man from the ages of 7 to 14 is never mentioned in any of the very detailed diaries of Aleister Crowley that were written throughout his life.
Yeah.
He told Mental Floss, Amato Crowley's account of his previous life and his relations with Aleister Crowley is unproven in its entirety.
Wow.
You know what else was never mentioned in these diaries?
A ritual?
Any kind of wartime activities or rituals. Though allegedly he did, in fact, write to Britain's Naval Intelligence Division in 1939, just 2 weeks after the German invasion of Poland and the declaration of war, and he was never offered a job. There's no corroborating evidence that exists for the existence of Operation Mistletoe or any other kind of operation officially.
Yeah.
Unless it's declassified later in life. We don't know. But it's as of right now, we have not. So the fact that this motherfucker implicated Aleister Crowley working together with Ian Fleming is just the funniest shit to me.
Yeah. What a turn.
And then he was like tarnishing Gerald Gardner's good name, you know?
Yeah. He's like, well, you're lying. You're providing fake information. She's like, but is he though?
That's fake news.
We're not getting tired of it, guys.
Yeah, I think that's probably it for me. Still, while the events of Operation Cone of Power have no historical context and might not have actually happened, Gardner's version of events became legendary among those practicing the faith, at least according to Professor Sabina Maglioko. Maglioko? I think it's Maglioko. She's an anthropologist and folklorist at California State University Northridge, who also happens to be a Gardnerian witch. She told Mental Floss, as a folklorist, I am interested in narratives because of what they tell us about the people's values and what they tell us about what people want to be true, even if the stories are not 100% true. And then she goes on to say, quote, it tells us something about what those witches wanted to be true. It's the power of the witches to do something that is nearly impossible. It is also about the patriotism of these witches, and it also talks about the power of witchcraft to channel the energies of the earth, the nature, through their bodies to create this cone of power.
Yeah, I mean, I can definitely see how everything that he was reporting was done makes sense to what I know about Wicca.
Yeah.
Like...
You have something to add?
No.
Okay, I thought you said like, and then stopped, and I was like, what? Like what?
Oh.
But Hutton had a similar conclusion, that Gardner's account of Operation Cone of Power at least provided the opportunity to show his patriotism when he was writing about this ritual in the 1950s, a time when neo-pagan witchcraft was routinely associated with the British media in stories of Satanism, like sex, ritual murder, like this is all a bad time. We had it here, Satanism, D&D, all that, and that was happening similarly there. He said, quote, if it didn't happen, then it was a wonderful way of trying to get people to regard Wiccans as being patriotic and fellow citizens instead of being some kind of enemies of society. Adding that, quote, Gerald Gardner produced the story of Operation Cone of Power after he had coped with a great deal of barracking from the media about witches being inherently evil and perverted people. So this was one very good way of explaining that they weren't. It proved that it wasn't just soldiers willing to lay down their lives, because according to Gardner, the dancing involved in this raising of the cone of power was so intense that several participants died of exhaustion soon after. And allegedly, one member, having decided beforehand to intentionally sacrifice himself, deliberately refused to cover his naked body in the protective grease, and he allegedly died of you see, I'm saying allegedly a lot.
Yeah.
Lastly, Heselton, the biographer, he believes that Gardner was truthful, because such magical ceremonies would have been important as an expression of belief for communities of witches who would have, you know, been part of the New Forest Covenant. Quote, I think it's largely true. In fact, I turn the question on its head and reply, I think that it's extremely unlikely that something like this would not have happened. He points out that most of the members of the coven were too old to join the armed military or civil service, but says, quote, they were motivated by the times to take part in defense of their country, however it could be achieved, so that they used the skills they believed they had, which were magical ones. Yeah. Operation Cone of Power was just the sort of thing they would have done.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. They feel helpless, and they need to do something.
Yep.
And so thoughts this and prayers. This is the best that they can do at this point is to try, because worst case scenario, it doesn't work, right? And they're still where they are in it, but at least they tried.
Yep. If anybody else has any more interest in World War II or like any of the things I talked about, my sources for this episode mostly came from Encyclopedia Britannica, the Imperial War Museum website, Mental Floss, and that Today I Found Out article. I did not get a chance to read Gardner's book myself.
Also, I looked up Richard Spence's book, The Secret Agent 666, because I wanted to see the cover.
The cover is so good, right?
It's a sick cover.
Richard B. Spence. I kind of want to read that one too.
I know, right?
Take it with a grain of salt, but
it's just such a cool cover too to have.
But yeah, that's my episode. I hope you enjoyed it.
I did. I love hearing about witches.
people were expecting when it comes to witches in England. Zoe's getting murdered.
Yeah.
Tried and burned at the stake and what have you. These were people who just didn't grease up properly and died.
Well, thanks for joining us today as we discuss the Cone of Power. And now we want to hear from you. Send your stories, your questions, and your feedback to strangeunusualpodcast@gmail.com. If you're sending a story, we just ask that you put listener story in the subject line so you can sort through those a little more easily. Do you have a relative who was part of Gardner's circle?
Do you have proof that Amato Crowley was actually the son of Aleister Crowley?
I don't know how you would prove that, but yeah, if you have that proof, I feel like there's
no proof. It didn't. It's not real. It's fake news. I think I should amend my wee woos to put Trump impression now. It's a little late, but sorry. You can also find us on Instagram and Threads at @strange_unusual_podcast or on our personal accounts, Roy Rampage and Calamity Casey. You can find us on X @_strangeunusual, @CalamityCasey, and @RoyRampage. We are on Facebook. Just search for the Strange Unusual Podcast and look for our logo. Roya is also always on Twitch, twitch.tv/RoyRampage. Kick also, kick that, I don't know, whatever Kick's thing is at Roya Rampage. And of course, you can always find us on patreon.com/strangeunusual. Coming up in February, we're going to have another poll bitch. I'm the poll bitch. It's me.
Yeah, it's kick.com/RoyRampage.
Kick.com/RoyRampage. If you want to see cartoon tits jiggling away. That is literally all I take from it. Then I have to turn it off. I go, oh God, they're so dramatic today. Make it really small. Put it away. I hope you make money off of them. That's all I'm saying.
I have been.
Yeah. Patreon.com/strangeunusual. We got some old bonus episodes. We have some new bonus episodes. We did that Lori Vallow episode not that long ago. James and Elena. Remember that? Wasn't that a great time?
Yeah, it was a great time. Actually.
We do polls. We have a Discord where you can, again, join. Come hang out with us in Discord. See the weird little guy. It's going to be fun. As always, if you cannot afford to support us financially, just $2 a month, but we get it. That's more, that's you know, that's half a carton of eggs these days. So share, rate, review, let us know how you feel about what we're doing here, and share us with your friends, share us with your enemies. As always, if you give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, we will read it out loud on air and shout you out. So you can write whatever you want, as long as it's not racist or something, you know, inflammatory of an offensive nature, and it's just directed at us as people.
Yeah.
As long as you just hate us and our personalities, that's fine.
We're used to it.
And totally valid. But yeah, we'll read it. Their Trump impression really sucks. 5 stars.
It does. You're correct.
It do. And I'm proud of that, honestly.
Yeah, I don't want to be good at a Trump impression. I want to be as far away from being similar to to Trump as possible.
To Trunk. But yeah, that's it for me.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.